Live from Buffalo Creek. We're continuing tonight our study on the doctrine of the Holy Spirit. And some of this will be a little bit repetitive because we've been studying the Gospel of John on Sunday nights. But for the next couple of weeks, we're going to deal with the Holy Spirit as the Comforter. If you would, turn in your Bibles to John chapter 16. You know, the Lord had told the disciples throughout His ministry that He was going to die, that He was going to raise again, and that was part of His mission. But I don't think it really began to sink in until really right before He died. And He told them in John 16, we just did this chapter on Sunday nights in verse 1, "These things have I spoken unto you that ye should not be offended. They shall put you out of the synagogue, yea, the time cometh that whosoever killeth you will think that he doeth God's service, and these things will they do unto you because they have not known the Father nor me. But these things have I told you, that when the time shall come, ye may remember that I told you of them. And these things I said not unto you at the beginning, because I was with you." He was in their presence. "But now I go my way to him that sent me." I'm about ready to die, to bear your sins, raise from the dead, and then ascend up into heaven and take my place at the right hand of the Father. He said, "Now I go my way to him that sent me, and none of you asketh me, whither goest thou? But because I have said these things unto you, sorrow hath filled your heart." It's becoming real to them, this thought that Jesus would not be with them physically was making them sorrowful as they thought about it. And He told them of the persecution that they would suffer, and their hearts were filled with sorrow. I think the apostles had seen the clouds of trouble gathering, but they knew the Lord's here. Jesus is in our presence. The Messiah is with us. And they had seen the Lord overcome every problem they encountered. Whether it was hunger, whether it was a storm out on the sea, when they thought that they were going to perish in the great storm, that Jesus Christ calmed the sea. He was right there in their midst. They saw the Lord casting out demons, healing people. He had been their guide, their teacher, their strength, their encouragement. And now they're sorrowful. And it was at this time that the Lord tells them about the Comforter. Verse 7. "Nevertheless, I tell you the truth, it is expedient for you that I go away, for if I go not away, the Comforter will not come unto you. But if I depart, I will send him unto you." Verse 13, "Howbeit when he, the Spirit of truth, is come, he will guide you into all truth, for he shall not speak of himself, but whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak, and he will show you things to come. He shall glorify me, for he shall receive of mine and shall show it unto you." You know, as Christians, you and I, we've never been physically in the presence of the Lord. We've never seen His miracles with our own eyes. We've seen them with the eyes of faith. We believe them because they're recorded in the Word of God. But can you imagine being one of the apostles, traveling with Him for 3.5 years, and being in the mix, being in the middle of all these things that were going on? People being saved, seeing the miracles that He performed. And that must have just stirred them and blessed them and encouraged them. And now the Lord's telling them, I'm going to go away. But I don't want you to be overwhelmed with sorrow, because when I go away, I'm going to send you the Comforter, the Holy Spirit. Sometimes we tend to forget that we kind of say about the disciples, we kind of throw rocks at them every once in a while. How in the world could they? They were right there with the Lord. How could they have unbelief? How could they get sorrowful? He's telling them exactly what's going to happen. We know the power of the Holy Spirit. Sometimes we don't realize that they were men of like passions as we are, subject to the same kind of weaknesses that we have. And I fear that we tend to forget that all of our strength, all of our guidance, all of our spiritual ability comes from the indwelling Spirit of God. Without the Holy Spirit, you wouldn't know the truth. You wouldn't know the truth as it is in Jesus. You wouldn't know the truth of the Holy Scriptures. You would not know the blessings of what the doctrines of grace mean, of the doctrine of the church, the second coming of Christ, how to live a Christian life. You'd know none of that were it not for the power of the indwelling Holy Spirit. And it amazes me how condescending God is to us to give us the blessing of a personal Comforter to dwell in us, to teach us, to help us when we're discouraged, to strengthen us when we're weak, to guide us when we need to make a decision. This is the comforting work of the Holy Spirit who dwells right in us. Doesn't that amaze you? That God Almighty, in the person of the Holy Spirit, not only gave you spiritual life, but He maintains it by indwelling in you. It's so wonderful. Jesus said, this is why I must, it's expedient that I go away, so that the Spirit, the Comforter, would come. Now the idea of having a Comforter, and I think the backdrop of this chapter in John 16 and also part of John 15, where He tells them plainly, the world is going to hate you. You're going to experience persecution. In fact, every one of the apostles experienced some form of persecution. Most of them died as martyrs. In fact, if you count John, all of them did. Now think about that. But the Lord says, I'm going to send you the Comforter. Comfort is a pleasant experience, but what does it imply? If you need to be comforted, what's that mean? You got some troubles. You got some afflictions. You've got some trials. You've got some rough spots. You've got some stormy seas. You've got some valleys. And the Holy Spirit is the comforter to guide you through all of it. You see, this world, I hope you understand, this world is not our home. This world is full of turmoil. If God were to restrain the wrath of, if He would stop completely restraining the wrath of man, what's going on in Portland would be an everyday experience everywhere, in every home. That's how wicked men are who are outside of Jesus Christ. Men by nature, men and women by nature are ungodly. They're against God. They're against His law. They're violent. They're cruel. They're deceptive. And this whole world is full of turmoil and tribulation and oftentimes tears for the child of God. Before Christ's departure, He assured the apostles that trouble would indeed be their lot in life. But the child of God is not to look for the cessation of trouble, but rather for comfort during his trials. I think you'll be one of the most disappointed Christians if you think that you're going to have smooth sailing all your life. If you buy in to the health, wealth, and prosperity gospel of the charismatics and the social gospel of those who think if they just improve your circumstances that everything will be all right, listen, this world is always going to be a source of trial, trouble, heartache. But we have something the world doesn't have. We've got someone to go alongside us, who lives within us, to comfort, to abide, to encourage. We need comfort. The Christian who goes through life as if he were an unhappy orphan is living beneath his privileges. I believe that God intends for His children to have comfort and joy in this world. Look over at John 14:27. Jesus said, let's read verse 26. But the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in My name, He shall teach you all things and bring all things to remembrance whatsoever I have said unto you. Peace I leave with you, My peace I give unto you, not as the world giveth, give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. Look at John 16 and verse 33. These things have I spoken unto you, that in Me you might have peace. In the world ye shall have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. Let's start claiming these promises. They belong to us. They've been given to us. We can have peace that passes all understanding in Jesus Christ, no matter what's going on in the world. No matter what turmoil there that may arise and what difficulty. Listen, get your mind off of the political scene and get it on the heavenly scene. Set your affections on things above, where Christ sits on the right hand of the Father. Can you imagine the Christians that lived during the heyday of the Soviet Union? Those rank atheists and communists that killed their own people. Think of the Christians in China today who live under threat of their lives because of the Chinese Communist Party. I would have to say these verses must mean a lot to them. I'll never forget there was like a video clip that I saw where some Christian missionary had smuggled Bibles into China in the Chinese language. And they had this video of this group of Chinese believers opening a box of Bibles. And they opened them. And they began to weep openly that they had the Word of God. They didn't have to say a word. You could see the appreciation that they had for God's Word. And they would take it and they'd caress it. They'd put it to their heart. They'd grab it and say, "Oh, thank you." Because they knew this was God's truth and it was a great source of comfort and encouragement. There are Christians being killed in China every day of the year. You never hear about it. Same goes for Muslim countries. Now, what if things change here? Politically. Will that be the end of your faith? Will you quit going to church for fear of the government? Will you stop witnessing? Will you stop teaching your kids the truth as it is in Jesus because of a change of a political regime? Or will you continue to stand and be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might? I'm not trying to be a prophet of doom. I'm telling you something. This world is getting worse and worse and worse. And I pray God gives you grace to stand. I hope He gives me grace to stand. The Comforter. He'll give us exactly what we need in the time of need. You know, a miserable Christian is guilty of unbelief and often has a poor testimony. The joy of the Lord is our strength. I wonder, can we have the same kind of joy that those Chinese Christians had when they got their first Bibles? Could that be evident in our lives every day? Could we cherish the Word of God and the power of God and the work of God in our lives and in our hearts on a daily basis? We can. With the power of God, the power of the Holy Spirit, and the Comforter who dwells within us. The Greek word for Comforter is Paraclete, which means one called alongside. And the Holy Spirit as a Comforter is our helper, our counselor, our advocate. Jesus said in John 14:6 that he'd send another Comforter. And the Greek word for another in that verse is allos, which means another of the same kind. Now think about that. The Holy Spirit is therefore, as was Christ, a divine person who cares for us in Christ's physical absence. And being omniscient, He can teach us God's will. Being omnipotent, He holds us up in this world. And He loves us in the same way that Christ does. And He communes with us, just as Christ does. Now, next week, we're going to get on to how the Holy Spirit comforts the saints of God. We'll get on to that next week.